Hey, good evening. Welcome in. So the Transit Town Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show here. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here with you as, again, it's brought to you by Transit Town Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram, your home field advantage for a trusted service and unbeatable prices. The Bills, a proper send-off for Highmark Stadium, 35-8 over the New York Jets. But more importantly than that, I'm perfectly fine with knowing the opponent. Like, I'm not watching Sunday Night Football right now with, oh man, are they going to play Baltimore? Or are they going to play Pittsburgh? And we don't know yet. No, we know what it is. It's Jacksonville. And here we are. Bills, Jaguars. What's there to take away from this game other than the Jets are super duper mega booty cheeks? I maybe super T duper booty cheeks. I don't know.
I think the only thing for me is the injuries.
Yeah.
Like Harrison and Prater is really.
Prater is going to be a concern.
Outside of that, this is a game that. I jokingly said on Twitter that Woody Johnson, the Jets owner, should probably just march down at halftime and say, guys, we're gonna call this one. Let's not waste anybody's time. Let's get out of here. Let's save some face and we'll get on the plane now. We'll just get to Cancun. That didn't happen.
Meanwhile, if I'm Aaron Glenn, I'm marching over to Woody Johnson saying, I quit.
I'm done.
I'm doing this.
It's just incredible. Now, with all that being said, great for the Bills backups.
Right.
And for a lot of these guys that this was going to be their moment to shine, what have you. You mentioned it there in the update. Ray Davis, who, you know, look, let's go back to training camp. A lot of people thought, Ray Davis, don't pay James Cook. Going to be just fine with Ray Davis. And it never really materialized for him. He had like one touchdown through, I think, like 8 weeks. And it was against Atlanta in a blowout or at least a game that just kind of felt ugly the entire time.
I still can't believe they lost.
He eventually finds his role on the team in the kick return. And he's great there. And he's a legitimate weapon. At one point leads the league in kick return average yardage. And then today, he goes out there and he just casually puts up 170-plus total yards. He gets a touchdown as well. He dominates on the ground for an average of 7.2 yards per carry, 151 yards on the ground. Great for him. Trubisky, who, dude, now we're at a point in the NFL where everyone thinks any bad backup or like first-round pick that just didn't hit right away is all of a sudden going to be the next reclamation project. He just goes out there, goes 22 of 29, 259, and four touchdowns. And outside of one or two throws, one definitely probably should have been a pick. There's probably another
one
in there.
There were a couple, actually. His first throw of the game should have been intercepted,
right,
too.
But for the most part, he was very comfortable back there, running the offense as sort of you'd hope to see. I'm not going to lie, Derek. At halftime, I was like, what would this game be like if all the starters were just playing? Like, you saw what Kincaid was doing. You know, Kincaid, who is getting
thing.
The run go. Yeah, probably.
It'd really be the same thing. We'd get divided stat bases for everybody.
Yeah. It was a really emphatic win. I heard Sneaky Joe saying it right when him and Nate were wrapping up pregame of, I think there's going to be a lot to cheer about today. That ended up being absolutely correct.
By the way, that's Eye on the Quarterback. It's brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. 803-0550, the number to call. How you feeling about, you know, dealing with the injuries of this game? I don't really know how much you actually want to talk about the actual game itself, so I don't blame anyone. How you feeling about the Jacksonville matchup? That's what we're drawing up. That's what card has been pulled, and that's where we're going.
Man, I'm really fascinated by this Jacksonville team. They've won, I believe, now 8 in a row. They have looked like one of, if not the best teams in the second half of the season. Trevor Lawrence has been dynamite, really, since the trade deadline when they add Jacoby Myers. But with all that being said, Jacksonville is not an incredibly intimidating place to go to. Liam Cohen is a first-year head coach. Trevor Lawrence is, in some aspects, unproven in the playoffs. I mean, they have the 1 year where they go in.
They have two playoff games.
Yeah, two playoff games. One of them is an Arrowhead, and it's close, but I don't think they're ever in the lead. And so you're sort of unknown about Jacksonville. And with that, I think there's a lot of Bills fans that maybe would want to just get this game out of the way, find out early. Are we going to take down maybe the quote-unquote most complete team in the AFC, or are we out? You know, are all the fears true and we're out in the wild card round and, all right, we've got to fix some of the stuff in the offseason. Offensive line, you know, they're maybe going to lose some guys. Receivers, the issue that keeps on crawling up on you every single year. Defense, maybe you have to add a middle linebacker, what have you. Or You beat Jacksonville in Jacksonville, and at least for me, someone who has been a lot more negative on this team all year, you go out and you beat Jacksonville, I don't think anyone in the AFC can beat you. On your day, no one can beat you. I'm not saying that they win the wild card game and I'm like, screw it, they're running the table. But I'll feel confident about every other matchup, unless there's a massive injury that just they can't overcome.
Yeah, it is getting to a point where the national perspective on the Bills is also going to get tiresome here. It is the, oh, you have to win now. There's no Mahomes. Mm-hmm. There might not be a Lamar. There's no Burrow. You have to win it now. And you've said this, and I like that you've said this, that just because the other main characters are out does not mean that you automatically get to become one. It is not how it goes. If I could be a total dork for a moment, you might be Vegeta forever, the total jobber. And what does that mean? Well, I mean, you're just the team that proves if you beat them, you're legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills have, for the longest time, kind of been that exclusively to one team, Kansas City. The Bills put up a fight, but then ultimately they lose. And for there to be a real hero of the story, they then have to vanquish the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, like a Philadelphia had done so. But the Bills have oftentimes proven to be a measuring stick for, oh, if you can beat the Bills, you're legitimate. If you can beat the Bills, you've got something. And that Atlanta loss, as frustrating as that one is, the national telecast was constantly on, this Falcons team might be for real. They just beat Buffalo.
It was a somewhat crowning moment for them early in the year.
Right.
And instead, it's the high point of a bad, just mediocre season. They, what, go 8-9?
They finish 8-9.
And they're cleaning house tonight. They're cleaning house. I mean, they're getting ahead of Black Monday. They're cleaning house tonight.
Mm-hmm.
GM and head coach both out. Now, with all that being said, you mentioned that. That is going to be a talking point this week. You know, the Bills are sort of the old kid on the block here. Chiefs, maybe Baltimore, Cincinnati are all out. And you're the elder statesman. So with that, the big talking point, and it'll frustrate some people, but nationally will be, is this going to be Trevor Lawrence's announcement? Have to now take him seriously, that this was not just a fluke. This was not just putting on, you know, a few good months of tape, but in actuality, this is him finally becoming, because I know this is a big nickname, the prince that was promised, right?
Right.
Is that finally it? You know, we're going to find out. I'm really excited. I'm one of those Bills fans that at this point now, I've enjoyed my time in the regular season. The games don't have as much flair to them that they used to. I still get up for the Chiefs and the Baltimore and the Cincinnati's and some of these other big games that aren't necessarily in conference. But to me, it's the playoffs. Like, this is what I get excited for. And now having those matchups set up, like, let's go. I want to take on this Jacksonville team. I want to see if all my feelings on the Bills have been wrong or if they're vindicated or if there's other issues we got to find. Derek, I got to tell you, like, one guy I was really excited to not see suit up today was Brandon Cooks.
Right.
Because while we dealt with the drops, we also saw against Philadelphia.
Man got open.
And it put the drops into perspective of, oh, he does keep getting open, though. And Kincaid, when he is in the Bills lineup, the offense looks different. You may not like it in the long term, and that's fine. I agree. Tight ends probably should be closer to complements to the team than rather than the main receiving options. But where they're at right now, when they've got Kincaid and the other two, Knox and Hawes, in the lineup, they look different. And if they have a guy that can stretch a defense vertically, and to be perfectly honest, they have it on tape now.
Yep.
Like, you're not doing your due diligence as a team if you're not noticing that Cooks has been open the last few weeks.
And you know, it's kind of...
It's a worrisome if you're another team.
On a smaller wrinkle, Tyrell Shavers didn't play in this game.
Yeah. Nate's rant may have been right.
But it's also, I think they understand the value that he does bring as a blocker to this team.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, no, we can't. Not yet. Not with him. And so he also doesn't play, which is very interesting. I will be interested to see what we get with the inactives for receiver room heading into the postseason.
100%.
I mean, I think we all know where it's going to go. But it's worth looking at today where Nate mentioned it. And yeah, it's going to be very fascinating to see going forward here. There's a lot of stories. There's a lot of things to get to. And we have opportunities so we can get connect with our fans. It's powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. We'll go to Carl. Carl, welcome to the Overtime Show. What you got?
Hi there. You guys kind of just touched on it. I wanted to call in and talk about my guy Shavers. Not getting much playing time today. I'm wondering if that is maybe a good sign that they plan to use him in the playoffs or a bad sign that they don't have as much faith in him as I do. What do you think?
Well, Carl, I think it is, first of all, thanks for the call. And second of all, exactly to the first point you bring up. I think they see him as important. You don't typically get zero playing time against a New York Jets squad unless you're trying to be called valuable. Spencer Brown only has to enter this game because Tylan Grable gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Brown was going to play an opening snap, and that was it.
Dawkins doesn't even get a jersey. He was Dawkins out the entire game.
McGovern does not play.
Right.
Van Granger takes the first snap, and immediately, once that happened, I looked in the newsroom, and I said, yeah, Allen's going out of the game.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely.
Even Cook. I mean, McDermott spoke about it in the post game, but like he jokingly was like, yeah, we thought initially it was going to be a quarter, and then like as it got closer, he's like, that's too much. That's too much. And he gets two carries, and that's it. I mean, it may cost him the rushing
yards.
Title. It may cost him the rushing title, but I think a lot of us are at that point, though, of, cool, that's fine. Like, we're
considering what happened today with Prater and with Hairston, I think I'd rather this be the outcome. I am taking it personally that Derrick Henry's once again trying to spite Buffalo.
I mean, I just need Pittsburgh to look
like the
Pittsburgh Steelers of old for like 5 minutes.
I'm sick of your stuff, Derrick Henry. Really getting sick of it. I am taking it personally again. I will not drop it.
Eventually, he'll get old and just not have the horses anymore. Nope. I mean, unbelievable by him, too, that he's like even in this position.
For a long time.
Unbelievable. Real quick on this. Just most of the year it was, yeah, Henry just doesn't have it. Baltimore doesn't have it. And then quietly, he's just been hanging around the rushing title striking distance. And yeah, if he puts up 155 yards tonight, he gets it. Just incredible from him. It's just,
you use the word incredible. I'm using the word annoying.
It's frustrating. It's annoying.
He's already at 81 yards.
Yeah, of course he is. But in an era where running backs have just kind of gone by the wayside, especially guys like him who are not receiving options at all out of the backfield, it's just kind of both cool and super annoying that he refuses to just not be a great running
back.
It's incredible.
Away.
It's incredible.
You finally ran for more yards in the pros than you did in high school. Enough.
And then if you ever looked up his high school stats, it's super impressive.
Yeah, that's the problem. Enough. Come on, man. I don't need to see any more of Derrick Henry. I'm tired of Derrick Henry. And it's mostly because I'm tired of the Bills struggling with Derrick Henry on several teams.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to the Tennessee days. It was him and A.J. Brown that like just really gave them issues. A.J. Brown actually probably more so, because it even goes to this year as well. Like, the Bills can give up a lot in the run defense. Sneaky Joe brought this up on Twitter and I think on the pregame as well. But it hasn't really bit them. Where they're losing these games, we mentioned in Atlanta, is these super physical defenses that can just punch them in the mouth.
Right.
If you can't do that and all you can do is run on the Bills, it kind of doesn't mean anything to
you. Especially if you can get away from game script.
Yeah.
And Baltimore's defense isn't what I'd call good. Yeah, they've only allowed 3 points so far. Yeah, it's because Pittsburgh's just awful. It's why I wanted Pittsburgh to be the 4 seed for the longest time here, and I wanted the Bills desperately to climb to the 5.
I got to imagine the NFL, though, does not really want them to be outside of the brand. They just look significantly worse than most of the AFC.
Even
when
Baltimore.
They do make the playoffs, it kind of almost feels like they're just cheating the system. Like Tomlin, to credit to Tomlin, he seems to just kind of know how to get into the playoffs or at least get a winning record. Past that, he's lost like all of his luster. There is no difference there. There is no secret sauce or anything like that. They just can't really get it done anymore.
Yeah, and by the way, we'll use this as brewing around the league, brought to you by Thin Man Brewery and their new Mafia Light, the official beer of Buffalo football tailgates. Zach, when I look at how things are shaking out here in this game right now, too, you mentioned it. Like, Tomlin seems to always cheat the system, 9-8, refuses to have a losing season, yada, yada, yada. And the whispers that the rumors that I was seeing today was Harbaugh's coaching for his job, but not Tomlin.
It's incredible.
And I just, the Steelers with their refusal to fire people when it's actually called for is hilarious to me. And I get to a point where it's like, I feel almost bad for you at that point. And I don't know. But Baltimore is also one of these teams where it's the matchup that might be Baltimore and Houston. It screams to me, Zach, movable object versus stoppable force.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh's defense Baltimore's defense can be very much messed around with. And Houston has an offense that's like, meh.
I mean, they struggle mightily. They really, really do.
They do at times
Stroud
mightily.
It seems like, has been able to kind of come around a little bit here towards the end of the year, or at least definitely before he was getting injured, he was starting to come around a little bit. But even then, you still see oftentimes they just don't look right.
Right.
They're still a team I just don't want to go visit. Allen and the Bills do not play well in Houston. I'm glad they were able to avoid that team entirely in the first round. They don't obviously win the AFC South. But I also just like to avoid them as long as humanly possible in the playoffs, just because I don't really want to go there. That's probably one of the few teams on the road that I fear. Like Denver on the road, because I think Denver has a really – their ceiling
– Mile High is a different atmosphere.
It is, know? But their ceiling as a team I don't think is particularly high.
No.
Bo Nix plays a lot into that, but it's the one-score record or the one-score wins record. You know, they're in the same stratosphere as the 2022 Vikings and last year's Kansas City Chiefs. That's not great company to be around. I mean, yes, I know the Chiefs do make the Super Bowl, only to get blown out, and most of us kind of assume they're a bad team. The chickens came home to roost this year. That Vikings team do beat the Bills. They lose to Daniel Jones at home in the playoffs on the Giants. You know, so I think they've got a ceiling where Houston, with that defense, I don't really know if they do. The offense, yes, but that defense I think is good enough with maybe a shaky AFC playoff bracket to make some noise.
Yeah, and I think that it comes down to how are you going to be able to find a way, really. Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk about the other matchup, because that one is pretty much the only way that the Bills get another home playoff game is if a certain result happens, and I don't like the odds on that. But we'll keep taking phone calls here. Nico, welcome to the Overtime Show. What you got?
How you doing? Listen, Josh is 0-2 in Jacksonville. Like, how big of a game is this for him?
Nico, appreciate the question.
I think it's a big game flat out because it's a road playoff game.
It's a chance to win the first
round. You look at the
0-2
at Jacksonville. To be fair, he's also 8-8 overall against the AFC South.
Yeah, hate
that
this. That division has two playoff teams this year.
Yeah.
Gulp.
And it's kind of a weird bird to go up against. Worst, it really is.
And it's not even close, the record in terms of teams in the division.
Mm-hmm.
It's the worst that the Bills with Allen has endured.
Yeah, but 0-2 at Jacksonville, I think really it's less the 0-2 mark at a specific team. I think it's just more it's a road playoff game for him and McDermott. They don't obviously win in Houston, and they haven't won since. It's their playoff wins have been at home, and that's fine. It's winning a playoff game. That is totally – like you take that and you run. But that's where, to me, it's more important is he doesn't have that on his resume yet, and many quarterbacks really don't. It's hard to get road playoff games, road playoff wins. That's why we talk about a lot of these guys, like they kind of need to go through home. You know, the Patriots did that for years. I mean, that was when you had the double bye with the 1 and 2, both getting the bye weeks. But they were able to make their Super Bowls at home, at Gillette. Denver with Peyton Manning do it by going through Mile High. You do have some wild card teams. Rodgers makes his one Super Bowl appearance as a wild card. Right? I mean, Eli Manning did that twice being a road team. It's not out of the realm of possibility. And we have seen Allen, by the way, really since his second shot at the playoffs, elevate his game to almost untouchable levels. I think in many ways you can call him one of the greatest playoff performers ever already because of a number of playoff games he's had. We can talk about the perfect game, but 13 seconds, he comes out as the loser. His stat line would not tell you that. The last time he touches the ball, he scores to take the lead, right? I mean, that playoff there, he has 9 touchdowns, no picks. You know, the last two playoffs, I believe, he hasn't thrown an interception yet either. His game always elevates, and I think this would be a huge win for him just for the sheer fact it's on the road. I think very quickly, especially when you're in the playoffs, the opponent can kind of just disappear. Like, no one really cares. It's a playoff game. The expectations, or at least the legacy raisers, only go up based off your opponent. I don't think it can ever go down unless – I talk about wins. Losses, it can go down. But wins, I don't think it ever goes down unless it's a team that has a losing record and everyone's kind of like, yeah, you're on the road, but like they're 7-9 when, you know, the schedule looked normal.
So, you know what's interesting? You brought up New England and how, like, for the longest time they did that going through high seeds and everything like that. This year's New England team, I'm wondering if they did themselves a disservice winning the East. Of course, you want the home playoff game. Yeah, New England's the best team on the road this year, 8-0. They did not lose away from Gillette Stadium.
Yep.
So, interesting food for thought. Would I have loved a rematch with the Patriots? Absolutely. Can I still get that? Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
TBD. Actually, hang on. I'm trying to think of this.
if the Bills were to win and I want my rematch with New England, that means that they would have to go to Denver, then New England.
Yeah. It would have to be in the AFC Championship.
The AFC Championship game. And maybe at that point, maybe I've had my fill. But also, that would be an interesting demon to defeat.
It would be interesting. I.
But I'm thinking too far ahead.
I would imagine a lot of people, though, would all of a sudden be like, oh, no, they've won two playoff games. Like, now they're sort of, they're tempered.
Now they're actually a problem.
You know, now all of a sudden they've earned their bones sort of deal. I wanted it just because it would have been really fun to, like, the big season they have. May not win MVP as well. Stafford's numbers are significantly mm-hmm. better than his. And so I do wonder about that. I think there's also that sort of, and agree with it if you want to or not, there's also sort of that feeling maybe of, May, it's not your time yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have the numbers to beat him out. You beat up a bad schedule, and Stafford's, especially passing numbers, just blow him out of the water. And for Stafford, it would sort of be the nice little bow to wrap up what is a Hall of Fame career, especially we've seen with his Rams career compared to his Detroit career. I'm really curious on a lot of these matchups. The Chargers, though, going to New England, you mentioned them. The Patriots might be one of the few teams in the AFC bracket that can't take advantage of the Chargers' main weakness, which is bad tackle play. Both of their starting tackles are out in Joe Alt and Rashawn Slater, and they have been most of this year. It has caused huge issues for the Chargers. This is also where, too, coaching matchup. Vrabel, I think, is one of the best coaches in the NFL, I think, especially just getting his guys ready to go. Jim Harbaugh?
But he's going up against
maybe the best.
He's going up against the better Harbaugh.
And so, like, I do look at that, and I won't be surprised, Derek, in the mm-hmm. least. It's only happened once. Green Bay at Dallas, the 7 has beaten a 2. I won't be surprised, though, if it happened this time because the Patriots are still a young, up-and-coming team. It's not coaching. It's not any of that. It's just a young, up-and-coming team that maybe took advantage of a bad schedule, and you get to frustratingly go up against maybe the best coach in the conference. I think Sean Payton kind of has an argument for that. I think Sean McDermott has an argument for that. But that should be a fun matchup. I kind of just can't wait to see what the schedule is, though, to be perfectly honest. Like, that's sort of what we're waiting for now.
When are the games being played? Mm-hmm. And I think it'll be on the conclusion of this, obviously, tonight.
Which it doesn't need to be. Like,
it doesn't need to be. We can already figure it out.
Like, just say, like, it doesn't really matter. They're both big brands. They've been around forever. Like, play them where they're going to play and let us know where we're at. I think the Bills will probably be Saturday.
Illegal formation on a punt.
Oof, that's not great. I do think the Bills will be Saturday. Maybe even the first playoff game of the season. Could see that. Mainly because Jacksonville needs, they need to earn their bones a little bit, frustrating as it may be.
I would wonder if it gets one of those ratings boost types of games where it's like, it is the Bills.
You could argue, too, it's like this could be Lawrence's big moment. Mm-hmm. Or it could be like,
because the AFC South typically has been hidden on the Saturday 1 o'clock.
They are just log jammed,
which will
in there.
Annoy the absolute bejesus out of me, because we have Sabres and Bandits games to conduct here too on Saturday. Please don't.
Right, so like behind the scenes sort of look.
Yeah, for the sake of our job, don't.
Oof.
Don't.
But I think the NFL could sell Bills Jags so easy for like a Sunday night, Sunday 4:30 as well. Just like, hey, this is either
Sunday 4:30. I would imagine mm-hmm. you're probably putting a bigger deal up there.
And it's probably, I mean, to be fair, Chicago Green Bay
is probably getting one of the primetime games. That's my guess.
Your 4-5 matchups, by the way, are both pretty bad.
Yeah, they're actually, you know what? Carolina might get buried in the Saturday 1 o'clock.
They could get buried there. But like, I think with Bills Jacksonville, you could sell that so well of either this is Jacksonville's big moment to kind of announce themselves. Because, I mean, like, that would be true. If Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence, Liam Cohen could beat the Bills in Liam Cohen's first year, that'd be huge for them and sets them up next year to be sort of a primetime darling a little bit.
Yeah.
Where if the Bills win that, it's, okay, this is Allen's first road playoff win. And now you are starting to sell
Kansas
the whole
City's out of the way. Maybe it's the year.
Now you're starting to really sell, like, nope, they got through one. Here they come. I think the NFL could easily sell that matchup as one of your more primetime Sunday games.
803-0550, the number to call. Don't forget, tomorrow on WGR, it's a Buffalo Bills Football Monday presented by Northwest Bank for What's Next. Get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe will break down the weekend games and take your calls starting at 6 a.m. Then it's the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio from 10 until noon. One Bills Live follows that up with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker at noon. Chopin Bulldog take over at 3 o'clock. Former Bills center Eric Wood joins them at 4. Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day. Mondays on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. We'll take a timeout. Come on back here. We'll talk more with you. We'll get into more about this game and, well, not actually about this game, about the next game. Bills and Jaguars as well here
on the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Derek Kramer and Zach Jones here with you on WGR.
Takes the handoff, rolls right, has Ray Davis reaching for the end zone, and he spun into the end zone for the touchdown. Ray Davis with his second receiving touchdown of the season, and the Bills are cooking up 20-0 with an extra point pending.
Chris Brown there on the call. Let TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. The contest does end today, January 4th, 2026. You still got a few more hours left in today.
You got 2.5 more hours. Well, 3.5 more hours.
There we go.
Two and a half more hours. I was right the first time.
TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today.
I can't do math. Basic math. There we go. That's why I talk for a living.
I mean, same. I got useless history
Nine and
facts,
a half
but
plus
math,
two and a half
much.
Equals 12, Derek.
Got to do it from. You got to do like the backwards.
You roll enough math rocks to get this done. Welcome back into the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here with you as the Bills. The game itself is a yada yada. The experience that people got to live through today of just an absolute whooping of a team that calling them dead would be nice. It would actually be mean to cadavers.
They just,
wow.
No franchise, maybe outside of the Jets in Cleveland, will make me ignore draft picks like they do. The Jets have two firsts and two seconds this year. They have three firsts in 2027. That's not even acknowledging the third, fourth, and so on.
Right.
And yet, even still, I look at them and go, they are a decade off. It just
They're
feels
still probably
like.
Going to screw it up.
Yeah, it feels like they are just trying to march through cement.
And it seems like they always do it to themselves in the weirdest ways. You hired a defensive coach, and you got zero interceptions in 17 games.
Well, on that too, Dan Leberfeld, this past week with Show Me the Bull, he covers the Jets, has for years, even mentioned, I mean, you hired the defensive coordinator from Detroit, defensive guy, great, here we go. His DC he brings in doesn't even run his same system. He had no prior working relationship with him. So it's even stuff like, and I like the Aaron Glenn hire initially, and we'll see if he does get a year or two.
If I'm
a Jets fan, that is a hard sell for me that we're going to do year two of this, even with all the draft capital and all that stuff. But that right there should be a red flag. I know fans don't always love when you go to the same people, the people you know, what have you, but that's how you build a good working relationship. That's how you make essentially the culture that you're trying to build go. You know, it's why you see it in college, I think, more often than in the NFL. But college, a lot of times, these coaches, when they get a job, they just take their entire staff with them. You're seeing it right now with Ole Miss and LSU. Kiffin's essentially taking 90% of the Ole Miss staff with him. And the guys that aren't is because, well, Pete Golding's the head coach now. And Golding may have offered some of these other these positional coaches, guys, coordinator jobs. You know, Indiana with Kurt Cignitti, he took the whole James Madison staff with him. You know, I mean, that's how you do it, where Glenn, he had no prior working relationship with them and stuff like that. It's just, they seem so far away. Thank goodness, because the Patriots do have their quarterback.
Yep.
I don't need a bunch of teams being good.
Yeah, we don't need a bunch of teams figuring it out, mostly because it's already funny that a lot of the talented quarterbacks are in the AFC.
Right, yeah.
And it's weird that several of them missed the playoffs outright this year. Now Mahomes is hurt. Is there a changing of the guard that might happen here? But the Bills still have Josh Allen, and it does look like Baltimore might be making the playoffs after the Steelers just melted my brain. Hey, guess what? Three corners on one side with two receivers. Let's run a wide receiver screen with one blocker on three DBs.
Oh, boy.
I
mean, you know, try something different, I guess.
Sure, but you had an offensive offset with an extra offensive lineman in. Were you really trying to sell that you were going to run to the offensive left and then throw it to the right where there's three DBs and one blocker?
Not ideal. Not ideal.
Yeah. 803-0550 is the number to call as we get connected with our fans, and we will continue to do so as it's powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. We'll go to Evan in Grand Island. Welcome into the Overtime Show. What you got?
Hey, so as a coaching standpoint, we lose in Jacksonville. What does it mean for McDermott or Bean? You know, this is a big game. Mm-hmm. This is first round. That's going to win.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's always fair to bring that up. I think especially because of the expectations the Bills have placed on themselves now. I mean, you know, Derek, you brought up that all of a sudden John Harbaugh might be coaching for his job tonight. And that's in part because you have a healthy – well, Lamar Jackson's on your team and you don't make the playoffs. And this is not their first time.
It's also the amount of collapses that they have throughout his entire tenure, in addition to – a couple of weeks ago, they don't use Derrick Henry, and they lose a game hilariously in the last 10 minutes. It's another one of those collapses, and it's – I don't know. I
don't think anyone's – unless they're blown out like 41-10, and it's not a competitive game, I'd be surprised if anyone was fired. And the only reason I say that is, one, McDermott with the defense, they have been much better over the last month or so. Shaq Thompson going to middle linebacker. They're somewhat, in many ways, working miracles with the guys they have out. Hoyt out. Oliver out. Bosa's been dealing with injuries. Harrison was out for the majority of the early portions of the season. I mean, he misses basically all of camp. You know, Jordan Poyer has to rediscover, in many ways, his Bills career, helping out Cole Bishop at safety. I mean, they've dealt with a lot there. I mean, McDermott, I think, has done a very good job. With that, I do say McDermott. I am of the belief I think he has taken most of the keys away from Bobby Babich.
I will think that it's very interesting because the GM did paint a target on his back this year. He's the more curious look, but I think that outside of an actual power struggle between the two of them, I don't see either of them being moved. Unless there is some real, like, I'm not going to work with him anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know that. I'm saying that's the only reason I think that something would happen is, okay, yeah, that explains a lot then.
It will frustrate some Bills fans.
It'll frustrate some Bills fans. But
when you look around the rest of the AFC, Burrow, healthy, not making the playoffs. He's been hurt as well, especially this year, but they're not making the playoffs even when he is healthy.
And Joe Flacco even tried to save their season.
Right. Baltimore may not make the playoffs. They've also been bouncing around that. Kansas City now missing the playoffs. The Bills continue to just be I try to kind of like find how I wanted to say this because like they're not the pinnacle of success. They're not. They have not won a Super Bowl yet. They haven't even made it. They are the pinnacle, though, of consistency. 7 straight years in the playoffs. They keep winning playoff games at least. They've made 2 AFC championship games in this 5-6 year run, if you want to call it 6 years now that we're in 2026. But they've been able to just kind of keep going to the dance, keep taking a bite at the apple, keep getting a shot at this. You hope eventually one of these years it does just break for them. It could be this year. And you could go off of the argument that I know a lot of national people brought up. Lamar, Trevor, and Patrick may not be in this. It's just Josh and a bunch of guys who are unproven and untested.
Considering that, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen in this game. It's currently 10-3 Ravens over the Steelers right now. It is winner gets in to the dance. And the Ravens are penchants for choking. They really do have the notoriety of they screw up in big moments a lot. The Steelers are a team that is just mediocrity defined, and I don't know what's going to happen there. Like, these two teams are really going to try to find the way to lose in their own variety.
But to wrap up my point, though, with the Bills and McDermott and Bean, I'm in full agreement with you. I think it would take a power struggle. I have no knowledge going on there. I think as well, I think a lot of Bills fans are going to be happy with what Bean does this offseason if he is still the general manager, because I think there's going to be a pretty heavy overcorrection at the receiver position.
There might be a correction. I don't know about overcorrection. I will suspect that there might be, but at the same time, I'm not going to fuel anything. But I did see a lot of public comments about the roster or, you know, your concerns and my concerns about the passing game. And, you know, they weren't necessarily what I'd call cozy with the video of their I think it was a landmark, like a milestone win, and Pegula hands the football and Bean doesn't really feel like talking, so he hands it off to Sean. And, you know, I don't know. It just – something's off more than usual. They're not in lockstep but like in years past, I think is where I'm getting to with this.
I could also see it being McDermott's personality really probably hated the fact that – and this is how I've pictured it – Bean bought the paint himself and then painted the target on his back himself.
Yes.
I think that's something, you know, with McDermott, who he is
as a person.
I don't
want any brash outspokenness here to come back at us.
I think he probably looked at that and went, what are you doing?
Yeah, please.
We haven't played a game yet, and you're touting out that everything is perfectly fine in the receiver room, which, by the way, the guy he constantly pointed to in the offseason, he ends up doing an interview with Tyler Dunn after his appearance on WGR. The guy he keeps pointing to is like, no, I did something, is Josh Palmer, who through 18 games, 17 games, 18 weeks, does not register a touchdown.
Yes, and that was kind of the thing that you looked at with his production and went, okay, if you can get some touchdowns for this guy, he'll be a pretty good piece, because Palmer was, at the very least, solid in that sense. He was a guy that you could get you a couple touchdowns. However, he completed the bit.
He did.
In 12 games, because he was injured for a good chunk of the season, he goes from 4 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns, 2 touchdowns, 1 touchdown, 0. So he did a Kyle Pitts.
And so that's why I think
the opposite, because Pitts did go increasing it this year.
I think, though, that he's part of the reason why I could – and I'm not saying they're going to cut him or anything like that, but no. I could see in some ways a overreaction, overcorrection to the receiver position. And that could also just mean they draft two guys in the draft, and they also pick someone else up in free agency, and the room looks very different from, you know, how it was lining up today or even week one to start this year. That's where I could see it, too. They are going to have, though, other needs, and some of them are also going to be on defense. You really don't have a partner for Cole Bishop after this year. Jordan Poyer's done wonders, both bringing Cole Bishop along. I now have zero worries about him as one of their starting safeties. Middle linebacker, though, we mentioned it. It has to be Shaq Thompson, not the guy that you paid a lot of money to over the offseason in Terrell Bernard. And then, of course, the defensive line. Bosa's only here on a one-year deal. And past that, I mean, Hoyt looked great for 7 quarters.
Give me Max Crosby. Free him.
I mean, there we go. Now we're talking.
Free him.
I mean, they're going to have some other needs that aren't just receiver. I do think, though, receiver might be still the quote-unquote biggest need.
And you know what, though? Here's the brilliant part about all of this. That is next year's problem. Or a couple months from now, or weeks from now. A
couple weeks, yeah.
A couple weeks, hopefully not. A couple months, preferably. Either way, that's a future us problem to talk about, and that's not something that I will really worry about hanging my hat on for now, of like what's going to happen with the offseason, is there any changes. We'll find those out when we find those out. Right now, I'm looking at Jacksonville, I'm looking at the playoff field, and I'm ready to go. Why? Call it watching some of the most painful football games between these two teams, the Urban Meyer win and the playoff loss that, you know, both of those come at the hands of the Bills and Jaguars. I think I'd like a little bit more on this side of the counter. Last year, these teams square off. The Bills beat them down. Give me more. Manja. I need it back. I need my. I still need my vengeance for those two terrible football games that these teams made me be forced to watch, really, is how I would say it. 803-0550 is the number to call. We'll keep trying to catch up with you guys here as we continue on the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show here on WGR.
When you were at the goal line?
I did it until Dawson pulled me aside. He's like, you hear them chanting your name? They were chanting your name the whole time. And then once I finally realized that, I went back out there again. And I'm listening to everybody. I'm like, wow, this is what you dream of.
Bills fullback Reggie Gilliam from the locker room. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. There was a little Reggie chant going on later on in that game. I love it. You'll love it there. Welcome back into the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here with you. As, again, we're getting you ready to go for Bills and Jaguars. But also, if you got something about memories of the stadium, if you've got anything, if you want to talk about anything about this game in particular for reasons, I'm not going to stop you.
No, Trubisky should be QB1. I got to throw that out there now. No.
What are you talking about? He's wearing number 11
oh.
in the red helmets. That got a lot of PTSD for a lot of Bills fans here
today. You know what, though? You know, real quick on the red helmets, because we do want to get back to
yes,
the phones.
Yes, actually.
I love the white helmet look. I love the stormtrooper look they have on the road. It's my favorite uniform in the NFL.
Do not care.
I would not be against them doing what they did today. Red helmet, blue, the modern look that they
had
going on.
I would put that as, I will go as extreme alternate. As, I want that as a permanent change.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yes. All right. I just, I more want it like as an alternate that we see at least once every year.
Yes.
Because I really did enjoy it. But I'm also somebody like, bring back a standing Buffalo helmet alternate. Like, I miss those days when we had that at least once a year. You know, get more creative, have more fun with it. Because I really did enjoy that this year. The fact that we had the rivalry jerseys, we had, you know, the 90s look, and, you know, stuff like that. I did enjoy that. It just sucked that for the most part, when they did go to the alternate jerseys, it didn't go well.
Yeah, this is actually one of the few times it does this year.
It finally did go well.
Again, red helmets, unstoppable.
Apparently.
Hot.
Apparently.
803-0550 is the number to call. Time to get connected with our fans. It's powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. We'll go to Steven. Steven, welcome to the Overtime Show. What you got?
Hey, good evening. Well, I got to say, I've been following the Bills since back in the 60s. My mom actually took me to the old Rock Pile in the late 60s when Dennis Shaw was the quarterback and he ended up being the backup for Joe Ferguson. But, you know, I worked at the stadium one season because my aunt was actually in charge of personnel. I think it was like 75. So I got to watch OJ, and I was just, you know, that was my boyhood hero, jumping up and down, yelling, juice, 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 you know. And by the way, the Buffalo Evening News, they had at least one year where there's comic section. They had a full-page caricature of all the Bills players, and I put those up on my wall. So that was great. But I also wanted to say that I was in Boy Scouts, so – our scout troop actually got invited to be at the halftime ceremony unfurling the American flag. It covered the whole field, so that was a great experience. And then I remember waiting after a game. I don't remember who the Bills played, but I waited because I wanted to get OJ's autograph. He was actually, I think, the last player out, and I actually did manage to get his autograph. So, you know, I wanted to say also that, you know, here, this is a full circle game today because I looked this up. The first game, regular season, that the Bills played at Rich Stadium, I still call it that, was the Jets. They beat them 9-7. And here today, the last game there, regular season, was again the Jets, except they blew them out this time. So I'm very happy with, you know, the Buffalo Bills. And I think that they're going to go all the way this year. I've been saying that since the beginning of the season with all their ups and downs and, you know, the different things they've gone through. I think the Bills have what it takes, and if they play their best game, the defense is now peaking. The offense, I think they're getting their act together. Josh Allen, it was right for them just to give him the one place to keep his streak going. And then Cook, hopefully, you know, he'll get the rushing title if Henry doesn't catch him. But I just wanted to say that this is the year. Buffalo, they've got the momentum, especially with the sending off they had with this game at Highmark Stadium. So they've got all the Bills Mafia backing them up. They've got the momentum. They've got the talent. And I think this is the year they're going to finally get this franchise back to the big one. And this time they're going to win it. And so go Bills and just do it this year.
Thanks for the call, Steven. Appreciate it. And there's a lot there.
By the way, 1973 Jets, 4-10. Namath got hurt in the second game of the year. So actually, so
they had less wins this year than that year.
But actually,
and they had less games to play that year.
But interesting note on this, God, the Bills, Jets. It takes till week three to have their home opener.
Mm.
Namath's out for that game. I know I've talked to a lot of fans this past week that mentioned that, and they're like, yeah, it was actually really cool to go see Namath, and then he was hurt. And we didn't actually get to see Joe Namath, but the Bills do win that game, I think 9-7. But yeah, Jets. In the first year with Highmark Stadium, a bad team, 4-10. This year, they win what? They're 3-12.
Three and fourteen.
Just oh man,
they have as many losses this year than they had games played that year.
It's incredible.
There you go.
It's incredible.
Oh boy, yeah, the Jets. Never. There's no team like them. Tomorrow on WGR, it's Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at Northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe will recap the weekend's games. They'll take your calls in the morning starting at 6 a.m. The Extra Point Show follows that up with Sal Capaccio from 10 till noon. One Bills Live with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker gets going at noon. Schopen Bulldog at 3 o'clock, taking things over from there. Former Bills center Eric Wood will join them at 4. Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. What'd you find out there,
real
Zach?
Real quick, we do have the time.
Okay.
For the Bills.
Breaking news.
Get ready, everybody. Sunday,
Yes.
1 p.m. at Jacksonville, Bills, Jags, wild card matchup.
Could not be more thrilled.
So it's not Saturday. It actually is going to open up, though, the Sunday window at 1.
Actually thrilled about that.
I think we're also going to get the rest of the wild card matchups here when we come back from this break. But yes, for the Bills, breaking news, Sunday, 1 p.m. at Jacksonville for their wild card matchup.
I will undoubtedly be here at 7 a.m. to start off Bills pregame coverage, and I do not care about the early wake-up. I'm here.
For those of us, though, with Sabres tickets, good job for us.
Yes.
It's a win right there.
Yeah, that's, again, net win. Remember what I said. Our jobs would have been harder if it was a Saturday game. Yes.
Giddy up.
Yes. I'm here for all of that. 1 o'clock on Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 toward your heating, home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. The contest ends in 2 hours and 3 minutes. Get to it. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today. I'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. We've got times now. How you feeling about Sunday, 1 o'clock against Jacksonville on the road? That is officially the time that the Bills will begin their playoff run, and how long will it be? This is the Transtown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here with you. Let's keep things going for another hour here on WGR.
Snap to Trubisky, rolling right. Looking left, fires over the middle to a wide open Keon Coleman at midfield. Taken off and going to the 40, 35, and down to the 31-yard line. One of the biggest pass plays of the season for Keon Coleman. Goes for 37 big ones.
Chris Brown there on the call. Welcome back here to the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram, your home field advantage for trusted service and unbeatable prices. Hour number two, Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here with you. After the Bills put a beat down on a disheveled Jets squad 35-8 today in Highmark Stadium's farewell. And quite frankly, the Los Angeles Chargers need to go on a deep run in order for you to get another game back.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, and that's why We kept kind of saying, I know all of us maybe had like different ways to say it, but we're all like, this is probably the last game. And you know what? I did also get to a point there. Look, it would have been magical and it would have been a storybook ending if the Bills were able to be at home, have all these home games, make it to the AFC Championship, and close out the old girl as AFC champions. That'd been amazing.
Right.
I have also realized the older I get, endings often aren't very good.
Endings are not what you even think of writing up for it.
And you, well, I was going to say, usually endings are very disappointing.
Yeah.
You know, there could have been a way worse way to send out the stadium, which is the Bills don't make the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, this game ultimately is kind of like a sad, tragic way to send it out. Instead, it looked like from all the pictures I saw and all the tweets and all that stuff, it instead seemed like it was a wonderful send-off. And it was more of a celebration than a funeral. And I think it's awesome. Does it suck that they are probably going to have to go on the road 3 straight games? Sure. I don't think anyone's going to care, though, if they make the Super Bowl that they didn't have a game at Highmark, especially when you do have such an emphatic win against the Jets to close it out. And we even heard Steven mention it, too. Like, he also kind of had a little bit of the storybook of you opened it with the Jets, you beat them. You close it with the Jets, and you beat them. It's a pretty nice way to send it out. Right. The only way it's better is, of course, the AFC Championship, and you win it. But I heard Joe and Nate mention it to wrap up pregame. There's also something, though, to that of you actually couldn't really enjoy it being the final Highmark game because, number one, you don't really know when. Number two, you're probably stressing the whole time hoping you win it.
Right.
You only get to celebrate it if you won the AFC Championship. Instead, now you get to celebrate it and then go on to the playoffs. It's a silver lining. It's not great. I would have loved for them to be the 1 or 2 seed. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But if I'm going to look at it, you know, with a little bit of a silver lining, that's there and it's pretty good.
Right. And I think that, you know what, if it was similar to, like, yeah, the Jets are the Jets, but if the Bills had to try, for example, you did ask that at the start of the show, what would the stat lines have looked like? Probably Allen 150 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, and then Trubisky gets the other 150 and 2 touchdowns. And James Cook probably ends up with 70 yards rushing. And then Ray Davis probably doesn't have as chunky of a stat line there where he gets 151 yards on the ground. Maybe it's about 89.
Mm-hmm.
if we were to equate it that way, because if you split time with them and you realize, okay, we've got this well in hand, the backups can come in against the Jets because they clearly are showing that they're not up to snuff against anybody.
Oh, man.
And we can rest some players. I think that what you say is right. It is a good silver lining. It is an acceptable silver lining, I think. And I am ready for the next step, which is, all right, let's get through the playoffs, see what they've got going on here. Yikes, the Ravens have an injury to Kyle Hamilton. That is their defense. And the Steelers are asking for a flag on something.
Yep. I think they're looking for pass interference here.
Oh, my God.
Which it is totally pass interference. Oh. It's friendly fire here a little bit.
Hamilton, first of all, Hamilton and his arm clocks Austin, and then he gets clocked by his teammate.
Oof. Ugly game, 10-3 okay. Right now, early in the second half. Baltimore with the lead. Pittsburgh with the ball, 3rd and 10, though. And they haven't really been able to do much. They did go for it with 2 seconds left to end the half. Really proud of them. They then had a pitch out that lost yards. So
yeah, it was.
They're still the Steelers.
I just started laughing. They're still the Steelers.
Oh, man. So annoying.
Even with a bold play call or bold decision.
Bold decision,
not a bold play call.
Oh, man.
And I just, you know what? Whatever. The Steelers are continually a farce for me as an organization. I'm not.
We might have to deal with them on Monday night, though. This game is still close. It's not like it's Baltimore running away with it. We might have to deal with them on Monday night.
What are you talking about, this we? If the Steelers are playing on Monday night, I know how the ending's going to go. I'm not watching it.
Locked in.
I think I would literally have better things to do than watch the Texans stomp all over Pittsburgh.
See, we say that now, and then all of a sudden,
nope.
Houston's defense or offense can't do anything either. I don't expect it because Pittsburgh, like all their issues.
Oh my God, I'm realizing how low scoring that game would be.
Ew. Pittsburgh, all their issues all come out during the playoffs. Like that's been true the last few years.
I actually have better things to do than watch a 9-3 football game on a Monday night.
Do the Sabres play?
No, but
oh man,
but you could challenge for hey, do the Sabres outscore them? Well, hang on. Do they play that Monday night?
I was thinking say about check. This week. Yeah, I was like, we don't have the national championship.
Now I need to make sure of this because maybe it is. I'm watching the Buffalo Sabres instead.
Oh man,
they are playing that night against Florida at home.
I've got better things to do.
I've literally got better things to do.
Got better things to do, baby.
And get more points in that game.
Might get more points in that game. Oh boy.
Jeez. By the way, again, bashing on the Steelers right now is going to be my way of sneaking in brewing around the league. Brought to you by Thin Man Brewery and their new Mafia Light, the official beer of Buffalo football tailgates. Zach, the entire playoff schedule is out. And we were talking a lot about this off air. I like a lot of the placement, not just selfishly.
Mm-hmm. It works for me.
It works for us here in the building. It works for a lot of people. It works for people that might have Sabres tickets that Saturday. It works for everyone. Why? Here's the full docket. We've got the Los Angeles Rams at the Carolina Panthers. Good Lord. At 4:30 on Saturday. Good for Carolina for backdooring into the playoffs, I guess.
Yeah.
Your reward is the Rams.
Yeah, have fun with that one. look, there's been way crazier upsets. I'm kind of curious to see what Bryce Young looks like, although I think also Stafford should probably win the MVP. I know he didn't win the NFC West. You know, they're what, the 5 or the 6 seed? Like, I get it. But
they actually, hang on. Zach, we can't dismiss this outright. The way that the two teams have been playing is a little bit of an opposite trajectory. But Carolina wins this division in part with a 31-28 upset win over the Rams.
I did want to mention that like they have actually already beaten them in relatively recently. Now that is also one of those things that the Rams have now seen them. They know what they do well. Stafford also plays terribly to start that game.
As a matter of fact, that's kind of where we're thinking, oh no, did you give away the MVP?
He bungled it, you know. But,
did you give away the MVP, sweetie pie? Oh, no.
But with that, because Carolina did beat them, I love that matchup at 4:30 to start it. It's there because Carolina has a losing record and they're kind of a gross playoff team.
Yes.
And the Rams are sort of one of like the nice-looking ones. Of like, hey, people are going to want to watch the Rams, though. Puka Nacua, Stafford, and all that. They're going to want to watch them. The 8 p.m. game on Saturday makes a ton of sense to me.
Peak. This is history.
Yep.
This is intensity. It's the number 2 seed Chicago Bears against the Green Bay Packers. The Packers, oddly enough,
the first and only team to win as a 7 seed.
Mm-hmm. And they get another crack at this.
Green Bay, if I'm not mistaken, they got swept by the Bears this year.
I think that's right.
I'm going to confirm this, but
I will say, though, with Bears-Packers, I mean, this is also the kind of story.
No, they split it.
They split it. Okay. This is the historian in me.
But they lost the most recent one.
Okay. But, like, this is the historian in me. Like, it's typically an ugly matchup. Like, the Bears are a team that is just allergic to offense. The Packers have had great quarterbacks. It has not always been a pretty rivalry, but it is a historic one. And when it's good, it's good.
Right.
And I like the idea of Jordan Love versus Caleb Williams. It's we all know it's not really quarterback versus quarterback, but that's how it's going to be built. And I like that. I like where we're at now with Ben Johnson and what he's been able to do with Chicago just in his first year. Matt LaFleur, I think, is an underrated coach now at this point. They've dealt with injuries throughout the year, not just to Micah Parsons. But, this could be a huge springboard for the Bears and everything going on there. This year's already been great for them. It can get somewhat – this is what we were sort of rooting for Bills-Patriots. Is cool, you won the division. We'll play in the wild card round, beat you in your building. Sort of that for the Bears now of, yeah, we won the division. Here we go. Like, Detroit, screw them. They're dead. We're going to beat them. Oh, no, we lost to the Packers. Oh, no.
Oh, my. And again, with the recent history between these two franchises and how lopsided it's been toward Green Bay, you can't let this happen.
Exactly.
But also, how uncanny would it be if the Green Bay Packers are the first and second team to win as a 7 seed?
Jordan Love. I mean, it's legacy stuff right there for them.
Like, that would be interesting stuff. And then Sunday, the Bills and Jaguars kick off the football Sunday. I love this as your simple game, and then we can ramp it up from there. And I think that when I call it a simple game, I think it's that I don't know just how exciting this game will be. In terms of the fanfare, Jacksonville's still new to the party in a way.
Oh, yeah, very much so, yep.
And they're also not the team with the hilariously bad schedule that they played.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville has had to grind it out. There's a middle portion of their season where they don't play a lot of good teams. But the Jaguars are still kind of a mystery. So you put Buffalo there. Everyone watches Buffalo on a 1 o'clock slate.
I was going to say, like, Buffalo's absolutely sort of the anchor here that, like, even if this game sucks, you're going to keep it on because Josh Allen's on the TV and it's the playoffs. And
right.
Look, he's going to be a main character on the shouty shows the next day and the day prior. And the week leading up to it, he is going to be one of the main characters.
The Steelers still have no...
Love them.
Gall.
But, and like I said earlier, though, and with Jacksonville, it'll be, is this your coronation? Is this your moment where you do announce that that eight game straight wasn't a fluke?
Right.
That Trevor Lawrence really is, you know, he's earning his nickname, the prince that was promised, all that jazz. We're going to find out. I can't wait. I do love that it's at 1 o'clock, though. Again, selfishly, I've got Sabres tickets. But also, you know, Derek, I'm somebody, I want to lock into some of these other games.
Yes.
You know, I like that Saturday I can just watch. And then Sunday, you know, we're going to wrap up all of our stuff around 6, win or lose, probably around there. And then I've got, in the middle of that, the next game, 4:30, 49ers at Eagles.
Yeah, and I mean,
those two have been outside of the Rams for a little bit there. Those two have been the superpowers of the NFC. That's the USSR and the United States going back and forth in that nuclear arms race.
Yes, that's I do like that. It's Philly, San Fran, kind of like it's almost like you kind of build it up a little bit here, or it might also be what you might call the tentpole,
right?
Because speaking of new kids on the block, New England and the Chargers at 8 o'clock.
Even with the Chargers too, also somewhat being. Relatively new.
But like the Chargers have been in the playoffs the past couple of times, and it's been two hilariously disastrous results. Now, the franchise that God forgot gets to go to New England, who has played nobody this year. Which storyline stays true? And like you said, the Patriots can't take advantage of the Chargers' biggest weakness, which is both of their tackles have been out for almost all of the season.
Yeah, they don't have this amazing pass rush that I think could really take advantage. Again, though, we've also seen Herbert. Herbert now has a bit of a notoriety as a playoff choker, a guy that has bad runs here in the playoffs. You look back to last year, he has 3 picks all year. He throws 4 against Houston. You look back to his first playoff game, they're blowing Jacksonville out. They lose the game in part because of his performance. He's got a lot riding on this as well.
And I do think that, you know, Drake May, you've got a lot to prove. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of issues, like, questions.
Questions, yep.
You guys haven't really played anybody.
Mike Vrabel is great at beating up on bad teams and trolling them, calling timeouts and making them have to play more football, or questionable answers on a certain press conference question. Anyway, my hatred of Mike Vrabel aside.
Damn good coach, though.
You've got... Man, wait a minute. I'm back on my haterade.
Yep.
Let me get a tall, cool glass.
That's fair.
And then Monday night, we've got the Houston Texans taking on whoever the heck wins this game because Pittsburgh just tied it up.
It's 10-10 with 8:23 left in the third. That game makes sense. Four fives, they typically try to place on that Monday night. Usually those are very close teams, record-wise and even just straight up, just performance-wise. The only problem there is, I mean, we're joking about...
The only problem is Sabres-Panthers might outscore this game.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, we're joking about Steelers-Ravens, and yes, while the Texans did beat the Bills, the Texans have been a frustrating team, I think, even for their fans to wrap their heads around.
Winners
the defense
of nine
has
in
been
row.
Great. Yeah, the defense has been great. The offense is a big question mark. C.J. Stroud is still trying to reach the highs that he reached in his rookie year. And then for Baltimore, like... If they were to make the playoffs, number one, great for them because that season looked dead in the water early on. So if they were able to make it back to the playoffs, it's huge for them. But you've got all the stuff going on with Lamar Jackson and the reports coming out of Baltimore media. Now you have the rumblings today that John Harbaugh might be coaching for his job. I mean, it could continue on to Monday night, though. If they don't win on the road, it would be in Houston. If they don't win there, is it all of a sudden – or I'm sorry, it's going to be in Baltimore. So if you lose at home to Houston – do we all of a sudden have the exact same conversations Baltimore's having right now about maybe Harbaugh's out and maybe they're going to move on from Jackson or whatever's going on there?
There's also a franchise question with Houston.
Oh, yeah.
A team that oftentimes has bowed out early and often. And when I say early, I mean round one.
Mm-hmm. They've also had weird runs, though, where they've won a playoff game or two even without like quarterbacks. I mean, yeah. Stroud, you know, they...
Against Kansas City, that divisional game was one of the most frustrating to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they've had weird runs in the playoffs. They also,
that
I believe...
That game was bleeping gross with all the, like, the refs not beating the allegations in that game. Right. I remember how frustrating of a watch that one was.
I think, though, Houston might be the first franchise to do this twice, which is start the year 0-3 and make the playoffs. Because they did in 2018, too. I believe it was 2018. But I saw that graphic this morning, and I was like, yeah, that sounds like the Texans.
Makes sense.
That sounds like them.
And sometimes, though, the Steelers, if it's Pittsburgh, for example, that makes this like, oh, yeah, no, I'm absolutely not watching that. I'll just watch the box score and enjoy Buffalo Sabres hockey more than that.
So very clearly, the Monday night game is not going to be your favorite matchup outside of the Bills-Jags.
Absolutely. And
what game, though, are you most looking forward to watching? Again, not Bills-Jags, obviously, of course.
Not Bills-Jags. I'm probably really interested in Packers-Bears because of... There's questions. The Bears are also a team that had a weak schedule.
Oh, yeah. A lot
of
close wins.
Have a lot of injury concerns. What's going to trump? What's going to triumph? What is going to show up here at the end of the day? Also, it's history. It is a chance not just to say you reign supreme on the record. One of them is going to escape this 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
It's also about we beat you in the playoffs. It is we get to hold that over your head for an entire year.
Right. The regular season matchup, it vanishes. It's,
right.
We won the one that mattered.
But Green Bay, for example, though, you need to push that pick as far down as possible with what happened to Parsons.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you need to start by doing that with a win. Because they have one of the worst records of playoff-bound teams. 9-7-1.
Now I'm always into these NFC matchups. I mean, for me, it's
yeah. Also, NFC North football is compelling in a. It's kind of funny. I'm bashing the AFC North teams, and yet the NFC North has this certain
old school stigma
to it.
But I find it more compelling than the AFC North a lot of the time. For me, it's 49ers Eagles. Like I mentioned, like that's the nuclear arms race of the NFC with the Rams kind of hanging around and jumping in every now and then. But it's for the last, you know, 8 years almost, maybe a little bit less, it's been 49ers and Eagles going back and forth as who's the most talented team, who's the best team in the conference. The Eagles have won their Super Bowls. The 49ers have not, at least, again, in this era. And I think that also makes it – what also makes it really compelling is Brock Purdy, who's been playing really, really good football here to round out the year. I am not a Brock Purdy fan, but I've kind of become one to end this year.
I also need
and the Eagles look broke.
I also need Nick Sirianni to get shut up.
Yeah, a little bit. little bit. But the Eagles look very broken on offense. Mm-hmm. And while the 49ers are dealing with a ton of injuries, I know water's wet, and it's in fact a year.
No, water is not wet. Water is what makes you wet or gets things wet.
But the 49ers, I mean, it's a year of our Lord, and they're injured. Like, that's just what they deal with. It's what they do. But I also think, like, eventually Kyle Shanahan probably has to win a Super Bowl.
Yes, he does.
And, I mean, they were right there for the one seed. They obviously lose to Seattle, but with all their injuries, they were still right there at the end.
But also,
it's incredible.
Speaking of the injuries, that's been their season this year,
yep.
too.
Oh, yeah.
And they almost had the one seed.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
So
that should be a great matchup. I could see, but I also could see it being a blowout where the Eagles are just, the defense kind of keeps them in it for a little while, but everyone's watching going, yeah, I mean, it's 13-10, but boy, this feels like the 49ers are dominating this game. I could totally see that.
Let TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence intercept your heating bills and are now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 toward your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. Contest ends in about an hour and a half, so get to it. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today. We will go back to the phones here, get connected with our fans. It's powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. We'll go to Adam in Buffalo. Adam, welcome to the Overtime Show. What you got?
Actually, guys, I just got done with doing my last ride at the stadium.
There you go.
It was bittersweet. You know, after 11 years of being a season ticket holder, I really enjoyed it. But, you know, it sucks because it's the last game at the stadium.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just had a question for you guys. We're going into the playoffs, and we're going to have to play Jacksonville. That's the last team I wanted to play. Because Jacksonville is the number one rushing defense. And I'm wondering, like, what are we going to do? How are we going to move forward with our offense, knowing that this team is the one that you just can't run against?
Yeah.
I understand that fear, Adam. Thank you for the call. And let me try to make it feel better with this take right here. You're going to have to do it to somebody. Jacksonville, Denver, Houston, New England, and L.A. are all in the top 10 in run defenses. And Baltimore is included in that as well to round out the 10 if they make it. Lamar Jackson just threw a pick on a batted pass, so the collapse has begun. But you got to do it to somebody. Like, otherwise you're done. And I don't want people to live in their fear necessarily about it, because I guess it is to try to help you encounter it right away. You had to do it eventually. Why not get it right out of the way? And that's what's going to happen here. You are taking on a team that is the best, but it's not like it's this gap. They are the best at 85.6 yards allowed per game. Denver's right there, though, at 91.1. Houston's at 4 with 93.7. And then New England's at 6th, 101. So, yeah, there's a difference between 15 yards between 1st and 6th. But that's four teams that you already have in your conference that you have to fight through. And then, LA is down there at 7th.
Right.
So, outside of, quite literally, the Steelers, by the way, 13th. The Bills solved that Rubik's Cube and kind of punished them and made them go down so far. The only team that you could really go ahead in the AFC playoff picture and go, okay, they're not that bad of a team to deal with against the run, is quite honestly... the Bills.
It's you.
Who are sitting there at 28th.
Yeah.
But that's it. The other lowest team in the AFC when it comes to being alive is Pittsburgh. And they're outside the top 10, but they're hanging around it. The Bills have done this to teams, though, this year. And quite honestly, pushed them down. Kansas City had a really good run defense. Didn't matter. The Patriots, yeah, it was without Milton Williams, but they still took advantage of that situation.
I think I look to as well, and we mentioned it right at the start of the show, and we'll probably mention it throughout this week. This is where I do wonder, did you find something in Brandon Cooks? At least enough to put on tape to where teams have to fear your downfield passing game.
And welcome to the other side of the shoe. Mm-hmm. Jacksonville, unlike Denver, unlike Houston, unlike New England, gives up more than 200 yards per game in the air. You can get them. And if there is a time for playoff Josh Allen to show up, well, I guess let it be against a more lenient defense against the pass.
That'll help.
That'll help. That'll help. So, yeah, you're going to face good defensive teams. You're in the playoffs now. So, I guess it's good that we have to face those fears right away. And I do understand it, Adam. I'm not trying to downplay it. I am just saying we're going to be doing this every week as long as they're alive. And I guess buckle up. We're all in the ride together. So let's just, you hold your buddy's hand, you walk through the door and see what happens with the trap doors in front of you. Because we all walk in together. And I'm more than happy here to help lead us through the door. I'm okay with that. Like, yeah, we got to deal with this eventually.
I will say though, in part because of what Adam brings up, if they do beat Jacksonville though, and if they're able to do it really with
if
how they wanted
run the
to
football.
Do all year, that's all of a sudden again like the confidence just starts to grow. Probably it won't be like I think every week if they keep advancing, you beat Jacksonville and whoever would come next. I'd be sitting there going, okay, you maybe got through the most complete team in the AFC. Maybe not the best, maybe not having the highest ceiling, but I would say Jacksonville's probably the most complete. So if you take them down right away in the wild card, giddy up, let's ride. Giddy up.
We'll take another call here before we get to a break. We'll go to Steve in Houston. Steve, welcome to the Overtime Show. What you got?
Hey, one thing that scared me about this matchup, It's been typical of the Buffalo Bills. Every time they go down to Florida and play in the heat, they are always burned out and can't take the heat and lose. I've been watching this happen to the Bills for 30 plus years. Every game they go down there when it's hot, they lose a lot of times. And so it looks like it could be hot on Sunday, but let's hope that it's cooler.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Steve. I will say it's January. It's still winter, so I hope it's not too hot. And just real quick, I looked at my weather app. It looks like the high is going to be around 62 to 65. So at that point, I hope they can handle it. This is where I will always say, though, I wish there was a Florida team coming up north. I think that's a much harder adjustment than a northern cold team going down south. But I don't think the heat should be too much of an issue for them. If we're talking about like a September game, a very different conversation. I think January, I think you should be just fine. To me, my fear, the one to worry about is usually the southern team coming up north. Think of the Dolphins going through Kansas City
or
Buffalo, where they look like they don't want to be there.
And, I mean, granted, the Dolphins are probably their own case study on that sort of thing.
But
it is something that you do need to, you know, take a look at. I think both directions, it does have something to it. I will say this, though. Just like the last call, you got to do it. You got to get through these things anyway. You might have to go to Mile High and play in the thin air.
I was saying that might be an actual, like, honest to God,
that
issue. Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah.
So it is now to a point like, yeah, I understand the fears that everyone's going to be going through. But now it is take a breath, puff the chest up. And let's walk on through, because here we are. We've made it to the crazy part. We made it to where this was a kind of frustrating season. But now none of it matters. It's a game at a time. And I, for one, am extremely excited about that because of the fact that now it is one game at a time. One game at a time. One game at a time. Don't forget, tomorrow on WGR, it is a Buffalo Bills Football Monday presented by Northwest Bank for What's Next. Get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe will recap the weekend's games, and they'll take your calls in the morning starting at 6 a.m. Then it's the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio taking over from 10 until noon. One Bills Live follows that up with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker at noon. Then Shopin Bulldog at 3 p.m. featuring former Bills center Eric Wood joining the guys at 4. Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day. On Mondays, right here on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. We'll take a timeout, and then we will be able to head into the locker room as well and hear from Coach Sean McDermott as well through some point here on the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram, your home field advantage for trusted service and unbeatable prices.
Ha 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 ha!
The Ravens and Steelers are trying to out-narrative each other right now, and it is going about as predictably as anyone would think.
It's compelling television.
It is compelling television, but it's bad football. I'll tell you that, too. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here with you on the Transtown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Transtown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram, your home field advantage for trusted service and unbeatable prices. Real quick, we'll be able to take in another caller as we get connected with our fans. It's powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. We'll go to Daryl in St. Catharines. Daryl, welcome to the Overtime Show. What you got?
Hey, guys. I just want to relay off the one caller there in Jacksonville's number one rush defense. I've actually been watching them the last couple of weeks, and I've actually been impressed with their offense. But the difference is the first quarter, Jacksonville's been up 14-0. So I think that pass defense is a little bit misleading because no one's obviously, when you're down 14-0, is rushing against them. And another thing I'm hoping for is we're not playing Baltimore, not playing Pittsburgh, and we're not playing New England. I'm hoping Bills Mafia shows up to Jacksonville and maybe that first series when Trevor Lawrence goes under center and the silent count comes out, Bills Mafia will get him going. Because I think Jacksonville will be kind of a good first round Bills Mafia showing up.
Could totally see that.
Thanks for the call.
That was in 2017. I know so many people who went to that playoff game.
On a whim.
I could totally see that again. On the rush defense point, though, because I think Daryl is onto something, it should be said, though, it is still a good group. Not necessarily looking at yards given up per game, but their expected points contributed by the run defense. They're still top 10. They're seventh in the league. They're not Seattle, who is incredible against the run. But they're still pretty darn good. Not great. That is something, though. I mean, like, they get up on teams early. They've been able to blow out some teams here.
That's the other misnomer.
The Jacoby Myers trade, they have been able to get after teams very quickly.
And I think that's the other misnomer, is that they are indeed getting up in quick leads on teams, or also not facing the greatest of competition as of late.
Yeah,
so that the stats do kind of lie a little bit here. On their eight-game heater, ever since losing to Houston, who has the nine-game win streak, the LA Chargers, but then it's Arizona, which you need overtime for, Tennessee, the collapsing Colts, we saw them be absolutely booty cheeks New York Jets, Denver, a team that is very much Jekyll and Hyde on offense, Indianapolis again, totally collapsing, and then what is probably in contention for worst team in the league as of late, Tennessee.
Right.
Again.
Now, but that's the thing. When did everyone start to really buy into them? It's 2 weeks ago. It is that Denver win. Outside of that, you're right. It's a lot of just like, who are you? And even the Chargers one, though. Remember, that's them
playing.
Don't
apologize for the schedule you have.
No, absolutely. But even the Chargers one, it's their tackles are really bad. And they're able to just get after them, and it's over pretty quickly. That Houston game, by the way, which is the game that they lose, and then they go on this run here. Houston, they just drop the ball hard. I'm pretty sure Davis Mills is starting that game. They're up big, and Houston ends up getting them in regulation.
Herbert's also injured in that game that they beat the Chargers.
That's right. That is absolutely right. I've forgotten about that. But you bring up Arizona overtime, and then you're facing, like you mentioned, the collapsing Colts or just the really bad Tennessee Titans and the Jets. It's the Broncos win right there that is crystallized as that's your big moment. That's the one that everyone was like, ooh, what's going on with the team in teal? What's going on there? That's the one. But outside of that, it is a lot of, and I think even to Daryl's point too, if you're also just playing straight up bad teams who maybe can't really run the ball or, you know, because the Colts can with Jonathan Taylor, you're just up on them so early, they abandon it.
I also think that game had a lot more to say about Denver.
Probably true. I mean, it's probably true.
So, all right. Well, that is pretty much how it goes here throughout today. Real quick, though, Eye on the Quarterback. It's brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. Josh Allen extended his streak today. And that's about it. Mitch Trubisky had a great day. But, yeah, I would say good for you. You could tell right away, Van Pran Granger got the start at center. There you go. So, there it is. We'll take a timeout, and we'll head to the locker room coming up next and hear from head coach Sean McDermott here on the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Let TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 toward your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. The contest ends in an hour and 14 minutes. So if you're going to do it, do it. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today. Again, Bills facing Jacksonville. We're going to be ready to go with that one all day tomorrow on WGR. Speaking of that, well, tomorrow on WGR is a Buffalo Bills Football Monday presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joel will recap the weekend's games. They'll take your calls in the morning at 6 a.m. Then it's the Extra Point Show, Sal Capaccio, 10 to noon. One Bills Live follows it up with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker at noon. Then Schulte and Bulldog take over at 3 o'clock. Former Bills center Eric Wood joining them at 4 on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Quick little update here for Steelers-Ravens before we head to the locker room. 12:40 left. Pittsburgh has the ball about their 40-yard line, up 13-10. A Ravens collapse. Another one might be happening here before our very eyes because Aaron Rodgers went deep and almost threw a pick. All right. Anyway, we'll get ourselves to the locker room, and that is brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. Let's hear from head coach Sean McDermott.
Okay, great to get a win. Real proud of the guys, real proud of the staff, the way they got the guys ready to go. Great environment, special environment. Really appreciate the fans showing up the way that they did and staying there the whole game. Just looking up in the stands from where I stood on the sideline, didn't look like many people left at all, which is not surprising, but very much appreciated. Want to thank the staff who worked to get the stadium ready. When you think about it, 18 plus inches of snow and all the work that went into getting the stadium, number one, you know, playable, and number two, safe for everyone who came to the game tonight. And can't thank everyone enough who chipped into that effort and gave their time and energy to get us ready to go here. So it means a lot to me and our team. And had a chance to get over here last night, met some of the workers, pretty special people, you know, hearing their stories coming from all over Texas. One of the guys I met worked at Harvard and yet showed up as a Bills fan to help shovel the stadium out, which is pretty cool. Anyway, really appreciate that. And again, great to get a win. Now looking forward to getting ready for the playoffs here. So with that, I'll take your questions.
Sean, as the send-off goes, for what could be the last, very well last game here, the celebratory feel to that game with this, you know, and to win the way you did, what did that mean to you?
Yeah, it was important. You know, I said it last week at the beginning of the week, and this game was important to us as an organization. It was important to me as a coach. It was important to us as a staff, important to the players, and I really appreciate them taking it that way in their approach. And, you know, when you have – it was a delicate balance, as you guys saw, of, hey, the health of some of the players, keeping other players managed in terms of their rep counts and giving some young guys opportunities and some new guys who have joined us opportunities to play so we could see what they bring to the table. And so it was a little bit of a challenge during the week, but I thought the staff did a phenomenal job, as did the players, really focusing in on, you know, our standard and how we play. And it showed up, you know, on the field early. So, you know, I tip my cap to those guys and the way that they prepared and came out ready to play.
Did you have a chance to look back at the crowd?
Oh, yeah.
They didn't leave. They didn't. Yeah. I mean, they stayed through this game. What was your feelings that way?
I mean, I felt a little guilty at times looking up in the stands. I'm supposed to be coaching, you know, but I guess I haven't done that a lot just because you're so focused trying to do your job. And but when we got to a spot where in the fourth quarter, after scoring and we were getting our kickoff team ready, just taking a second or two to look up into the stands, people singing Mr. Brightside, and I mean, come on, where else does that happen in the NFL, right? That type of togetherness, that type of fellowship, community, love, you know, of their team and of each other, and I'll never forget it. Special moment.
couple downsides. It looks like with Prater and then maybe Max. Do you know anything? And Max seems like it's a significant thing if you didn't let him kick anymore.
Yeah, you know, it happens in the second quarter. So we started putting a plan into place. And then we get in at halftime, and we're told he can't go at all. So, we'll have to see what it looks like tomorrow. I'm sure they'll get some films of it, and we'll know a little bit more. But, unfortunate.
What happened with Max? Looked like an ankle?
Yeah, a little bit of an ankle. Really would have preferred not to have one of he or Trey out there. But we were in a situation where we were out of ups and didn't have another corner to go to on the active, you know, at that point. So I think Dane's practice squad. Yeah, so we were out of practice squad ups. We had two already being used, and so it's unfortunate there. But we'll see where it goes here.
Were you aware at all about the Houston game and the possibility of if they had lost, you could have gotten to the fifth seed? I mean, before the game,
yeah.
Were you at least paying attention or even wondering what was going on there?
Oh yeah, yeah. I had it on in my locker. Yep, I was aware. So, yeah.
How tough was the James Cook decision and kind of with trying to get him the rushing title, but he's such a key part of what you want to do going forward?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure if he got hurt, you know, people would probably not let me walk. They'd make me walk home or burn my car. I don't know, you know. But that's the, you know, that was part of the give and take of the week of, okay, how long do we go? I gave him a quarter. As I told Joe during the week, I was like, all right, he's going to have a quarter and no more. And then after, as I got closer and closer to the game, I'm like, quarter's too much. So I'm probably not a great gambler in the casinos, but it helped when we knew what Jonathan Taylor in the afternoon he had. But we also wanted to know where, in terms of tonight's game, where that could go, and felt like it was, I still pray that, you know, he wins it. He deserves it. Felt like we could get him to, you know, 150, somewhere in 150 in terms of the spread between him and Derrick Henry, and we'll see. Did the best we could and trying to be fair to James and yet take care and fair to the team as well. So,
Sean, what's the transition like mentally for you going from this, you know, this celebration, as you said, understanding it, what it meant to the community, to the fans community, and where your head was with that, knowing coming up next is the, you know, the be all end all of playoffs. So how have you transitioned?
Already there, you know, honestly, already there, Vic. That's what we do. That's who I am in terms of, my wife would tell you, I'm pretty good at compartmentalizing things. That's where my head is already right now. Is ready to put in the work to get ourselves ready to go to play our best football. That's what this time of year. That's what it takes. You can't beat yourself. You got to play good, solid football, and you know, we'll have a big challenge ahead of us here.
Talk about a lot of last times at this stadium. I know, like, I hear people saying last time before the locker, I've heard some of that talk. Is it possible you use this? I mean, for the practice and stuff, you guys still when you play outside, would you practice in the stadium?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. My mind is
not for Jacksonville. But.
Yeah, no, my mind is not there right now. It's a interesting thought, Tim. So possibly, I don't know. I mean, I'm just, my mind is focused on putting in the work for this next game here. So.
Sean, is the hat an ode to Marv?
Yes. Yeah. Appreciate Jeff Mazurek, our equipment guy, and his staff do a great job. And it was in my locker. Jeff shot me a picture of it last night, and it was pretty cool, you know. So I want to make sure I honor Coach Levy. He's been great to me. What a class act. Everybody knows, you know, all Buffalonians and Bills fans know him. And it's really special when, and I think I've said this before, when a coach who is a true legend is also a class act and has been very, very generous to me, has shared, you know, wisdom with me over the years. His family's embraced me and my family, and I hold him in high regard, and his entire family are just true class people.
Why was it important to get Dalton Kincaid some action?
Well, he hadn't played in a little bit and had been kind of, you know, practicing, not practicing. You guys are aware. We talk about that almost every day. So I thought it was important that we got him going a little bit, but not too much to where he was too sore to come back and practice this past week. So just some momentum, some wind at his back a little bit here. I thought that was important for him. And he did a good job. Loved him. Yeah, loved him. Yeah.
See him again?
Will we see them again? I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. That's a private question for ownership. I don't know.
Did you get a chance at any point this weekend to hang out with some of the, you know, Jim and all the guys who were here? Did you?
I saw Jim and Anthony Brown's pharmacy on Friday night. You think I'm lying? I did. Picking up something, and I hear Jim's voice at the cash. This is a true story. Cash register, and it's like 6 o'clock on Friday evening, and I walk up, and Jim was there, and so we shared a couple minutes of a conversation, and it was good to see him. And then I see you know Steve every day, and then I saw Andre before the game, met his son, and so I mean it's really special that. Those guys are all, you know, most of them are around quite a bit, and but in the community, and they're awesome. They've been so supportive of us, what we do, how we do things, and appreciative of the way we go about handling things. So it's been great. It's been a great partnership.
Coach, how can you reflect on your first game here as head coach to this final one here at Heimer?
Probably a little less hair, maybe. Than I had then. The way I remember it, it was a full head of hair back then. I don't know what you guys saw, but that was a joke.
I got something.
That was a joke. Yeah. No, I mean it's you know what nine seasons does to you, what the lessons you learn as a coach, but also the lessons you learn as a man. The way you develop. Gratitude, the way I've developed gratitude for so many things over the years, and maybe that's just the journey of life, right? And even tonight, like, you know, taking the time, like I said, I did to maybe get outside of my job for a second to appreciate and take in the moments of watching the fans doesn't happen, you know, all the, you know, everywhere or that's a once in a lifetime. Like I said, that's not coach speak. It's you don't get an opportunity like that a lot, especially when you're down the sideline trying to do a good job. So yeah, you just learn over the years and you appreciate things. I think more and more because life moves fast.
Sean, okay. As you kind of turn now, you mentioned already being kind of in playoff mode as the sixth seed. Is there a mentality that you have to kind of cultivate this week to prepare for what you guys have to set out to try to do on the road the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, we're going to have to be a tough football team. That's where it starts, and you can't beat yourself. So there's more to it than that, but yeah, it's an important week for us here, obviously, and we've got a lot of work to do, and got to check the injury report because we've got some injuries popped up again here. So I think that's the first step to know who's available for us. That'll be a first thing. Tomorrow morning, item on the to-do list here. All right, thank you guys, appreciate it.
Thanks, Sean.
Yep.
Okay.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott there. Again, that is from the locker room. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. That'll do it for us here on the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. The Bills, 35-8, closing out Highmark Stadium on a good note. And they'll take on the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday at 1 o'clock. For Zach Jones, I'm Derek Kramer. Have yourselves a good night. Jeremy and Joe starts at 6 a.m.